And you're listening to Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
And now teachers take the lessons of the classroom to the streets from West Virginia to Oklahoma, Kentucky, and Arizona.
With Nima Brewer, a school employee and organizer in Fayette County, Kentucky. Teresa Danks from Grimes Elementary School. She's a teacher there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Derek Harris, Tucson Unified School District Middle School music teacher, band leader, teacher. One of my favorites. And we'd like to welcome all three of you to teach us and to educate us, and I mean teach literally and figuratively, about the issues that have been causing people to engage in walkouts, strikes, wildcats, and to thank you for your efforts, because the entire education system of this country is really under attack, the public school teachers and the public education system.
And Nima, let's start with you from Kentucky. There are things breaking there right now. And I know that the teachers in Kentucky have been planning a series of wildcat strikes, but the governor has other plans with the state budget. So why don't you fill us in on what's going on?
Thanks for having me on. So what's going on in Kentucky is a little different from West Virginia, in the sense that we kind of got a little bit late into the fight. So right now we are running out of legislative time. We are in the veto period in our state. And what's going on is that, surprisingly, our governor totally vetoed the budget and the tax reform bill of his own party. So what's been going on is we've been kind of running around like, you know, chickens with our heads cut off for the last, I don't know how many hours, trying to figure out exactly what is going on in our state government. And so what is going on in our state government is no different than what is going on in Arizona and West Virginia and places across, and Oklahoma, and places across the country. And there is a definite attack on public education and public employees and teachers. And so what we have done here is we have tried to at least stem the tide a little bit and to try to show that we're really not going to take it anymore. We're not going to put up with this blatant attack on our public education system. Public education is the absolute rock and foundation of democracy in this country. And until people start waking up and realizing that, then we're going to have a real problem. And I think they are waking up. I think Kentucky's rising. They've been rising for a while now.
Nima, in addition to issues of funding for the schools, for the kids, and pay raises for the teachers, there was a direct attack on the pensions of the teachers also. Do you have any allies in the Republican? I mean, you've got a Republican legislature, you've got a Republican governor. What's going on in terms of this kind of stuff in regards to the pensions and funding for the teachers and for the kids?
Well, here's what's going on. Here's something a little bit different in Kentucky. We started this fight basically because of our pensions and the funding of public education in our state. In Kentucky, we are not asking for a pay raise. We are asking for no more than what we were promised when we started working in the state. And so for our pensions. So what I tell people all the time is we're not asking for anything more than what we already have. And so, you know, you think that you have this in your hand and you think that you already have it. And then what you wake up to realize is that no, that nothing is sacred anymore. That your word, your contracted agreement is not sacred. And so what's been going on in Kentucky is that we're not asking for pay rates. We're not asking for anything more than what we thought we already had. And what we are asking for is we are asking for full funding of our public education system. And that doesn't include, you know, we don't think that charter schools should receive funding before our public education system does. We don't think you should be able to give, you know, vouchers and tax exemptions, for example, for private schools before you fully fund what our public education system needs. And so we're only fighting basically for what we already thought we had. And that's the huge difference between us and I think some of the other states, is that we're not asking for Cadillac pension plans. We're not asking for anything more or anything less than what we thought we already had.
And Teresa Danks, you were just listening to Nima Brewer, who is from Fayette County, Kentucky. You're from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I just want to pick up on this theme for a moment and, of course, bring Derek into the discussion. Do you think that the poor treatment of the students in terms of financing for fundamental educational needs and the disdain, as well as the poor benefits and salary of the teachers, are about a kind of collective move with conservative governments to privatize the school system? Is there a more insidious purpose to all of this? I'm interested in your thoughts on the matter and, of course, the specifics of what is happening in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Well, as a matter of fact, I was just at the Capitol again today, beginning the first day of week two of our walkout, and I got the opportunity to visit with Representative Tom Gann, and we were talking about some different ways that we could, in fact, fund education. And the topic did come up about charter schools, and he recommended that I might take a trip to the Board of Education and visit with them, the State Board of Education, because, yes, there is a lot of questioning and concern about, you know, is there a hidden agenda? Is this where we're going with education? Are we trying to shut down public education and privatize and become, you know, a nation of charter schools? I think a lot of teachers, you know, are asking that question and they're concerned, and nobody wants to be blindsided. We would just like somebody to, you know, answer the questions and let us know what's going on. So we're not sure, you know, what I'm seeing at the House, at the Capitol, is I'm seeing people on both sides, the Republican and the Democrats, that are very much pro-education and have voted pro-education. And then I see the opposite on both sides as well. So it's really hard to read between the lines and know what the real truth is and what the agenda is of everyone. And so we're just kind of taking it day by day here in Oklahoma. And I can tell you, though, that the momentum has done nothing but grow. There were more people today at the Capitol, more teachers and more parents and children at the Capitol today than there were last week. And I was just overwhelmed by the growth.
Well, I'm really excited by that. And why don't you, before we bring Derek in to the discussion, to talk about what's happening in his particular area, tell us what are the base demands of the teachers in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who are now in their second week of protest, which is pretty exciting.
Strikes.
Ken wants to say that word.
Well, there's a protest and there's a strike. And
These are strikes.
Well, I will say that we've been over 10 years without a pay raise, and we were, you know, we've been sitting at the bottom of the barrel for two decades, and our funding for our classrooms has just been ridiculous. It's been unacceptable. And I think, you know, that this momentum has been growing in teachers, and for whatever reason, you know, the time is now, and we collaborated and we stepped up. And what our demands are, even though we had, you know, this historical event happened at the Capitol, which I don't think funding education should ever be historical. It should always be the norm. But nevertheless, they want a lot of thank yous and pats on the backs for their historical movement of giving teachers. We asked for a $10,000 raise. Even at $10,000, that still doesn't really put us very competitive. But they gave us
what is the salary range, Teresa?
Right now, you max out at 46.9, I believe. And that's someone with a doctorate degree and 25 to 30 years in education in Oklahoma.
Oh, my
starting
goodness.
Really?
Now, I want to make sure I heard this right. You're saying that was $46,000 as the max out?
Currently, yes.
Wow.
And they've recently given us a new pay raise of $6,100, and that's an average. So it's a little different for everyone depending on how many years in. But even with that, our top people, the people that are veteran teachers here in Oklahoma, Even if you do add that 6,000, that puts you like 52,000, 53,000, maybe 54,000 if you get a little bit more. We still have brand new college graduates going to Texas and starting out higher than that. So we still, the problem, the reason we're still protesting is that what they gave, the promise that they gave us 2 weeks ago, they're still debating on how they're even going to fund that promise. They're still taking things, they're putting things on the table, then taking it back off the table. So that's, they're like still about $100 million upside down on funding year two and three of that promise, because this was like a $10,000 raise over 3 years. And the first year was like an average of 6,100. But again, there's still debate on how they're even going to do that. And so we're fighting for, you know, fund the promise is our first thing. Figure out how you're going to do it and put it in writing. And secondly is fund the future. Give us a revenue stream that we can count on so that we know that we can count on that money to fund our classrooms so that we can have the supplies that we need, that our kids can have textbooks that don't say 1990 in them. Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, a desk that's not broken and just, you know, it goes on and on and on. I mean, I could just keep going. But it is absolutely disgusting. And some of the schools that I've seen, it's just, it's not right. It just feels almost criminal. And, you know, I'm sitting here saying there's so many loopholes for our legislators to get around and not deal with, you know, what has been slapping them in the face for 20 years. Teachers are fed up in Oklahoma. Teachers are like, this is it. We have gone silent with a smile for too long, and they're ready to be heard. And they're saying that, you know, we want to fight this fight until we have something that we know is real positive change for Oklahoma.
And, Derek, you're in Arizona. And what is the situation there with regard to pay increases for teachers and also money for the schools for the kids?
Recently, we're very much like Kentucky in that we're almost at the end of our legislative session, and we're trying to figure out exactly how to best use our time here. And the thing that got passed recently was a re-up of a proposition that was originally a ballot measure brought in by the voters that would give just classroom teachers, not any other educator employee, would give them a pay raise based on how they did in their evaluation, the merit pay piece. And it was also partly based on student testing and also based on student evaluation and some other weird things. And that was, you know, coming up on its 10-year renewal date. Well, the legislature decided to go ahead and re-up that now. Now, it doesn't start over now. It starts over when the old one ends. But this time, because the legislature did it, it doesn't have any protection like the current one does. The new one that they just approved, since it's passed by the legislature, they can go in and tinker with the numbers and decide who's going to get paid or who's not going to get paid. There are literally provisions in that bill that simply say if they don't want to pay that money, they don't have to. And it's, you know, maybe $1,500.
And I also wanted you just to describe some of the conditions that your students, the teachers face, and the students are facing in the education process, and then to have Nima and Teresa kind of chime into this discussion and interface a bit with you, the three of you.
Well, to go back to the charter school issue, Arizona is considered one of those laboratory states where they've pushed charter schools out so highly here, and they've actually been pushing right now to expand the voucher program here to include private schools. And the way it works here is you literally just get a debit card that has about, you know, $5,500 on it, which is how much we spend per pupil, and you can just take wherever you want. There's no accountability for it. You don't even have to take it to a school if you don't want to. That's all taxpayer money. And a lot of those businesses that are receiving that voucher money, they'll go business or they'll go belly up in a year or so, and there's no accountability for that money. The school could be absolutely failing on any education metric, and it doesn't matter. They're not required to change anything. They can continue to make as much money as they want. And we have multiple state legislators who own, operate, or make money off of those charter schools, and they're just trying to expand it as much as they can. As far as, you know, the education conditions around here, you know, in the summer, we get, in some parts of Arizona, we get up to 120 degrees, and we have we have air conditioners at a lot of school districts that are 50 years old. They're so old they can't be replaced or repaired. They're so old that the amount of work it would take is longer than any repairman can do, and we don't have enough repairmen that know those air conditioners to get around to all the schools. Last year in the city I work in, Tucson, we had a school that had 36 classrooms and not a single air conditioner worked in the whole building. Mm-hmm. And their solution was to bring in swamp coolers, which just makes the air hot and sticky. Doesn't make it cooler. So, and it's just, you know, we don't have enough money to get computers for the state testing we're required to do. And the kids can't learn how to use the computers to test on them. And we haven't bought textbooks in probably 10 years here. No one even uses the ones that we have because they're so out of date and out of care. And we have schools that are literally crumbling. They need physical structural repair, and there's not money for it.
Nima.
And our governor keeps saying that he gives us the money, and our school districts are wasting it.
Nima, Teresa, come on into this discussion. This is pretty heavy, and it says about education in this country is just frightening.
Yes, I think we kind of had the opposite, where we had children that couldn't take off their coats because it was so cold.
Yeah.
In my classroom, you know, all the thermostats are locked. They don't trust us to.
And that's Teresa. Teresa, you're talking from Tulsa, Oklahoma, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So they're all locked. They're locked and already preset, so we cannot move our thermostats. And some of the schools' teachers were complaining that, you know, the children literally could not take their coats off all day because it was so cold in some of our schools, and, you know, that just is ridiculous. And, there's been reports of schools in our state that, you know, we've got rains and the water's leaking through, dripping on the children, and they're having to move, and bathrooms that are moldy, and, you know, just old buildings, and everything's falling apart, ceiling tiles are coming in. And, you know, just nothing is being fixed or maintained. And, you know, we've got the 4-day school weeks here. They can't afford to keep the doors open. And, you know, just there's just nothing. I mean, and teachers are literally paying out of pocket. If they want something, they're reaching in their own pockets and getting it. And, you know, that was something I started talking about a long time ago, is that it should not be that teachers are having to fund their own classrooms.
Nima?
Well, you know, I hear these stories, and it breaks my heart. I am not a teacher. I am a public school employee, a district level employee, and that has taken on this cause because, it's the right thing to do. You know, we're all in this together. And what disturbs me of hearing these stories is that Fayette County, where I'm at, is always considered a rich district, but we're not rich by any stretch of the imagination. I think that when people think of Kentucky, they think of horses and bourbon, and you know, that makes people think that we're wealthy. And I've got news for them. You know, we have a declining coal industry that has crippled a lot of our southern states, our eastern Kentucky states, and our western states. I mean counties, and so. I hear these horror stories. I don't think that we're at the point in Kentucky where we are at this crisis as far as the facilities. But I do know that we have, I think this was one of the first years I ever saw textbooks go through the warehouse,
you know, in a while. And so I do know that we've had cuts in those areas. We've had severe cuts in professional development, which helps our teachers and our students. We've had severe cuts in our Frisky programs, and Friskies are our family resource and youth services centers. And those programs are vital to our families. And we've had severe cuts to them. I mean, we're talking $200 for the whole year in some instances. Ooh. You know, and those are the things, you know, it's funny because somebody said to me, somebody had posted on our Facebook page that it wasn't the job of public education to feed and clothe and do all these things for our kids and our families. And I said, you know what, that might not have been the initial
job, but it is now. And this is the situation that we're in. And we care about our families. We care about our kids. We care about them so much that we've allowed ourselves to be underpaid, underfunded, and we've kind of sat silent for a while. And I don't think that that's happening anymore. I think now we are rising up across the country and saying, you know what? These are vital services that we provide. And because we provide those services, people take them for granted. And it's easy to fall into that comfortable numb of, well, they're always going to be there. But then when they don't show up, guess what? Then people start freaking out. And I think that that's what you're seeing across the country.
Well, yeah, I would definitely say that.
Teresa, and then we're going to give the last word to Derek. Unfortunately, we have about 2 minutes left, but goodness, what graphic descriptions and what fervor and energy, and you all are going to win because this is a national movement of support for education for our teachers.
Led by the rank and file.
Absolutely. Teresa, Derek, and please, about 30 seconds apiece. Wish it were more. Go ahead, take it.
I was just going to say, yes, last week we definitely felt so much support, and this week we're definitely feeling the pushbacks because people are feeling, you know, it is affecting their lives. But at the same time, I think that that is important, that that people need to realize that, you know, we are professionals and we are definitely trying to make a difference in the lives of our children because they are the nation's future. And like I've said many, many times, if there was ever a reason for us all to unite, it would be for the future of America, and that is our kids.
Derek?
I would say that the thing that we have to be most on guard for is a lot of the legislative things that have been coming to us in the wake of these strikes is legislators trying to buy off the educators and not put funding back in schools. They're just trying to say, fine, we'll give you a raise, be quiet about it. But the real fight is going to be for that school funding, and it's 10 years coming, and it's not getting any better unless there's a major change in how they approach thinking about education.
Absolutely. I agree.
I wish we had a chant 100%. To go out to. Maybe that's what we have to do, a national chant for all the educators, all the teachers, all the public employees who are rising to the occasion to support their families, to support their communities, and to support the children in a public school education system that's commensurate with what they need to advance their careers and their lives. Nima Brewer, you are wonderful, a school employee and organizer from Fayette County, Kentucky. And I think about Kentucky in a lot more ways than bourbon and horses. Now I think about striking teachers and organizing workers. Teresa Danks, from the Grimes Elementary School in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Derek Harris, Tucson Unified School District, middle school music teacher, band teacher. Thank you all for being with us. We stand with you, and we will make it so. What happens with our teachers and our plant facilities is what happens with our kids and their future.
The latest in the ongoing battle against pension reform in Kentucky finds thousands of educators packed on the Capitol Plaza in Frankfort once again. For the second time in 2 weeks, Kentucky educators and supporters invaded the state capitol. The latest rally comes at the end of the current legislative session, a session in which many teachers believe they have been belittled and betrayed by state government leaders. Many wanted inside the Capitol building but were locked out after 500 people were let in. Some at the rally had hopes the state legislature would override the vetoes by Governor Matt Bevin on the recently passed budget and revenue bills. Some didn't, but all in attendance wanted education in Kentucky to be fully funded, and Eastern Kentucky was very well represented.
To override, to not to override, I don't know. I think we're at a point, it's the devil we know, the devil we don't know. I'm here for my students. I'm here for all my family members with children. It's all about the kids. Funding for children and for our schools.
We will always stand up for our students, our children, and the future of our Commonwealth. All of us, all 120 counties are here, and we're standing up for all of our students. This is about the future.
We would rather be in the classroom. We'd rather be with our kids. This is not where our heart's at. Our heart's is with our kids.
And we want to represent everybody in Kentucky because we are one, and we just want to be stay together and be united.
We are Wright County Strong! There was no denying the political atmosphere at the rally, and the momentum Democrats seemed to be riding following the extended pension reform controversy.
If you have a mobile phone, raise your hand. You just pledged to register 10 new voters. Let me hear you say, go vote, Kentucky!
Go vote, Kentucky!
That governor has called you names. He's called you disgusting. I think you're amazing. He's called you unknowledgeable. Well, I think he's ignorant.
The crowd at this latest rally exceeded that of the previous rally, April 2nd, and the raucous crowd promised to remember this fight over pension reform in this year's and next year's elections. Reporting from Frankfort, Chris Anderson, EKB News.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.